Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 552, titled Update on the Formula and the Standard IG Agreement of 1929. This is being recorded on May 7th of the year 2006. In a number of broadcasts, I have discussed the Standard IG Agreement of 1929. That was a very important cartel agreement about which we'll have more to say later. The main focal point of that agreement concluded in 1929 between Standard Oil and the old IG Farben Chemical Cartel of Germany, since broken into many smaller companies, or some smaller companies. The focal point of that was the hydrogenation process by which, or through which, coal could be made into oil. Since Germany did not have domestic petroleum reserves, but did have enormous coal reserves, in order to prepare itself basically for a Second World War, a mechanized world war, it became necessary to guarantee access to fuel. And one of the things that the old IG Farben Chemical Cartel did was to devote tremendous amounts of research and development and capital into developing such a process. Such a process was developed, and it offered the opportunity to turn coal into oil, and also to make oil from other oil if you had a little oil to begin with. Because so much capital was sunk into this, it threatened the continued existence of IG Farben, and because for the first time there was a possible alternative to naturally produced oil, Standard Oil, the parent company of the many Standard companies, Standard Oil of New Jersey, concluded an agreement with IG Farben, and basically it made IG Farben the second largest stockholder in Standard behind the Rockefeller Company, behind the Rockefeller family, I should say, and it also guaranteed that Standard Oil would be able to market synthetically manufactured fuel through the hydrogenation process around the world, except in Germany, where IG Farben would have those rights. This guaranteed Standard Oil's markets against future competition from synthetic fuels, and it guaranteed not only that IG Farben could continue its existence, threatened by the enormous capital it had sunk into R&D, but it also guaranteed that Germany would be able to produce synthetic fuel. In World War II, synthetic fuel became a critical element of Germany's fuel, and 90% of its aviation gasoline was produced through synthetic fuel. At the time, the enormous cost of that process made synthetically produced fuel too expensive to be competitive with naturally produced oil. Of course, since that time, the price of oil has increased enormously. One of the things that I spoke about in For the Record program number 385 was my view that a novel written in the late 1970s by Steve Shagan called The Formula was in fact based on reality. That novel, by the way, was also made into a major motion picture starring, among others, George C. Scott and Marlon Brando. I don't remember if it's still rentable at video stores, but it wouldn't surprise me. The thrust of that book was that a formula, the title concept, a formula was developed by the Third Reich near the end of World War II for a catalyst which would make the hydrogenation process much, much more efficient and would make synthetically produced oil competitive with naturally produced oil. An entire process of intrigue follows in the novel and in the movie itself. I spoke about the book, The Formula, in For the Record 385, recorded in late October of 2002. That broadcast is titled Formula for Disaster. And having read the novel, The Formula, it is so closely based on things that are real. It incorporates so many things that can be verified from historical research that I voiced my opinion that, in fact, it was based on reality. Certainly the development of such a catalyst would have been a high priority item for the highly skilled German chemical industry. And, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the program. What we're going to do in this broadcast is to explore at greater length some of the applications of that same hydrogenation process to the manufacture of synthetic fuel. Of course, the price of oil has increased enormously, and now, surprise, surprise, the process, the hydrogenation process, is once again being applied for the production of fuels. And we're going to talk about that throughout the course of the broadcast. As is the case with many programs, I can't encourage listeners strongly enough to access not only the other broadcasts, but in particular the written descriptions that are available on the Spitfire website. Those descriptions are part of a vast and growing body of printed information that is available to listeners. Those of you who only listen to the program, those of you who only access the audio files are missing, at this point, the better part of the For the Record experience. We're going to begin by taking a look at an article from the web. It's specifically from a website called greencongress.com. And this article talks about a consortium of companies, primarily European, that are combining in order to basically pooling their resources to develop synthetic fuels. And specifically, the fuels that are developed here are derived from that very same hydrogenation process. One of the things to take note of is the fact that one of the processes they are promoting is the coal to liquids, or CTL, application of the hydrogenation process. This is the application that was used by Nazi Germany in World War II to synthesize much of their fuel, including 90% of their aviation gasoline. And once again, that process, the coal to liquids variation of the hydrogenation process, is once again on the industrial development horizon. In a number of broadcasts, including For the Record 506 about the peak oil scam, which is basically what it is, I noted that Germany once again has large coal resources, as does, not incidentally, the United States. And I noted that the peak oil concept, a bogus one in my opinion, comes from a company called HIS Energy Services Incorporated. That is a wholly owned petroleum consulting subsidiary of Thyssen-Bornemisza Industries. And it was the Thyssen firm, as noted in a number of programs, that bought the Leuna facility in the former East Germany. The Leuna facility was the largest IG Farben synthetic oil facility in World War II. It was the focal point of a major air battle in 1944, the Battle of Leuna, and whereas most of the industrial plant of the former East Germany was liquidated by the Federal Republic when the two Germanies merged, the Leuna facility, which was rebuilt after World War II by the Soviets, became the focal point of some major maneuvering by European corporations, including and especially the Thyssen heavy industrial firm, which bought the Leuna facility, and it is a Thyssen energy consulting subsidiary, HIS Energy Services, which has developed the peak oil scam, basically, the notion that we are all out of oil. Oil would appear to be a limited resource. Nonetheless, technologies have been developed to make it easier to drill for oil. Also, new oil is being discovered all the time. While the world was The attention of the world was diverted by the tsunami disaster in Southwest Asia in late 2004 and early 2005. China announced the discovery of a vast new oil field, which would go a long way towards satisfying its growing energy needs. One of the major contention of peak oil is that we have reached the peak of the accessibility of naturally produced oil, and that it's all downhill from here with higher prices and all sorts of things. The problem is that HIS Energy Consultants is basically dependent upon data supplied to them by the very oil firms and geological engineering firms that stand the most to gain from the logical implications of peak oil. It has been known for a long time that there would be increased competition for petroleum reserves due to the growing industrialization of China, India, and other emerging market countries. And yet at the same time, refining capacity has been deliberately limited by the very petroleum industry that is now charging us so much for oil, and that also, not incidentally, is reaping record profits. As I've noted in, among other programs, For the Record 506, the peak oil scam is basically a feedback loop. The petroleum companies and the geological engineering firms submit the data that they want to be processed to HIS, which then produces the result that they want. Oh, we're running out of oil, therefore we need to jack up the price, minimize environmental restrictions, and so forth, to the great profit of the petroleum companies and the their associated engineering companies. Do bear in mind that the peak oil comes from Thyssen, who also bought the Leuna facility. Let me also remind you of For the Record Program 534. The peak oil scam has also led to a social hypothesizing that basically is at one with the social programs of Nazi Germany. We have to get rid of about 90% of the world's population. Surprise, surprise. As I noted in For the Record 534, the damned apples don't fall too far from the damned tree, and a very damned tree it is. So keep that in mind. Also, keep that in mind as you listen to the story of contemporary development of synthetic fuel. The following from, again, Green Congress of March 7, 2006, Alliance for Synthetic Fuels launches in Europe. Note in particular the continued development of coals to liquid. The same technology used by Nazi Germany and IG Farben in World War II. Daimler Chrysler, Renault, Royal Dutch Shell, Sasol, Chevron, and the Volkswagen Group are launching an association, the Alliance for Synthetic Fuels in Europe, or ASFE, to promote synthetic fuels in Europe and to support research demonstration products and public-private cooperation in that area. ASFE is focusing on synthetic fuels made with the Fischer-Tropsch process from natural gas, gas to liquids, or GTL, coal to liquids, or CTL, or biomass to liquids, or BTL. The Fischer-Tropsch process produces a range of near-zero sulfur and aromatics transport fuels and chemicals. Of the three processes, GTL is the most commercially advanced, with a few major plants being built or planned worldwide and the prospect of increasing product availability from 2006 onwards. BTL, second-generation biofuels, needs further R&D investment and is of great interest to European policymakers. While the fuels resulting from the Fischer-Tropsch process are cleaner burning in operation, thereby resulting in reductions in tailpipe emissions, particulate matter, oxides of nitrogen, carbon monoxide, and hydrocarbons, the production process itself is energy-intensive and can throw off a large amount of carbon dioxide. The use of CTL or GTL fuels results in greenhouse gas emissions comparable to those produced by burning petroleum-based fuels, while the FT fuels produced from biomass can contribute to vehicular greenhouse gas restrictions of up to 90%, an important aspect of the fuel for European automakers who must meet reduced CO2 emission standards. So again, note that once again, not only GTL technology, which we've already spoken about in For the Record 544, the gas-to-liquids technology, but also coal-to-liquid is once again being contemplated. By the way, in the context of the peak oil scam, I should stress that I am two thumbs down on fossil fuels. They are bad, bad, bad. If I were an octopus, I'd give 8 tentacles down on fossil fuels. If I were a squid, 10 tentacles down. They're bad things, and we should be developing alternatives. However, the notion that, oh, we are running out of oil, therefore we need to raise the price to exorbitant rates, and we need to get rid of 90% of the people on Earth, that, folks, is the damned apple falling close to the damned tree. It, again, HIS Energy Consultants and the peak oil scam is a feedback loop that benefits the very petroleum industry that has deliberately limited refining capacity, therefore driving up the price of oil and gasoline as demand has risen. We're now going to take a look at, we're going to review, I should say, a couple of articles that we looked at in For the Record 544. The GTL process, once again, a variant of the hydrogenation process developed by IG Farben, is now coming into vogue. This is from an article called Oil Giants Look to Gas Alternative by Thomas Caton from the Financial Times of March 6th of 2006. It reads in part, A novel way to create an ultra-clean fuel for cars that uses natural gas instead of oil is on the verge of rapid growth, analysts say, driven by soaring oil prices and a thirst for alternative fuels. Oil companies are investing billions in the nascent technology called gas-to-liquids, or GTL, which can be used to produce quality diesel and a range of other products normally derived from crude. The process was developed in Nazi Germany and apartheid South Africa, but in a few weeks will be tested on a commercial scale for the first time when the largest plant so far opens in Qatar. The Oryx GTL plant, a joint venture between South Africa's Sasol and Qatar Petroleum, is being watched closely by competitors and investors looking for the next big thing in energy. Car makers are also interested. Royal Dutch Shell is working with Toyota, Volkswagen, and Daimler Chrysler to create vehicles that run on pure GTL diesel, which combines high power with extremely low emissions. Shell and ExxonMobil plan to build much larger GTL plants in Qatar. Nigeria has a plant under construction built by Sasol and Chevron. BP plans to build a plant in Colombia. Note, again, that many of these are the same companies that are working on the alternative synthetic fuels for Europe consortium that we just heard about. Note also that the large German corporations, the German core corporations, including Volkswagen, Daimler, Chrysler, and others, are all not only very close to the German government, but linked to the Bormann Capital Networks, about which I've spoken so often. Another article, also from the Financial Times, this from May 19th of 2005, also by Thomas Katon, titled, Ambition to Become the World Capital of Novel Technology, Gas to Liquid, reads as follows. More about the GTL application of the hydrogenation process. To be sure, GTL has been around for a while. The basic process was invented in the 1920s and then developed by Nazi Germany and apartheid South Africa, both of which had problems getting enough petrol for their vehicles. Initially, it was used to turn coal into a liquid. Today, it's used to turn natural gas into a clean-burning fuel for use in diesel engines, naphtha, lubricants, and a range of other products. And so, again, note those. Again, those are discussed in For the Record 544. Now, about the formula, I'm going to read some excerpts from the description for the Record 385 Formula for Disaster. From that description, we read, the standard IG agreement of 1929 was similar in certain respects to what has become known as a debt-equity swap. IG had invested a great deal of capital into R&D, research and development of the hydrogenation process, in order to utilize Germany's large coal reserves to synthesize oil. Germany has no domestic petroleum reserves. As a result of its enormous expenditures in this regard, IG Farben's financial situation was precarious. Standard Oil of New Jersey, the most important of the standard firms, later Exxon, now ExxonMobil, recognized that the successful development of the hydrogenation process had the potential to threaten its profit position by freeing industrial economies from dependence on naturally produced oil. The two companies negotiated the Standard IG Agreement of 1929, satisfying the needs of both companies. Through this agreement, IG Farben received a significant block of Standard of New Jersey stock, making it the second largest stockholder in the firm behind the Rockefeller family, as well as the right to produce and market synthetic fuel developed by hydrogenation in Germany only. This gave IG Farben badly needed capital and guaranteed Germany's access to hydrogenation-produced synthetic oil. Through this agreement, Standard Oil of New Jersey received the exclusive right to produce and market synthetic oil developed through the hydrogenation process everywhere but in Germany. This assured Standard's profit by protecting against the potential threat posed by synthetic oil. During World War II, IG Farben's hydrogenation plants provided Germany with the bulk of its fuel, thus realizing the potential of the Standard IG agreement. The 1944 aerial campaign against the largest of those plants, the giant IG facility at Leuna, was one of the pivotal engagements of the air war in Western Europe. The Battle of Leuna was instrumental in crippling Germany's war machine. Although Germany managed to keep the plant operating by cannibalizing equipment from other hydrogenation facilities, the resulting damage to the overall synthetic oil program was a decisive element in the destruction of the fuel for Germany's war machine. In the early 1990s, the Leuna refinery, which had been rebuilt by the Soviets after the war, became the focal point of a complex deal involving the French oil firm ELF Aquitaine, the Thyssen heavy industrial firm, and the Saudi Arabian armaments industry. This deal, in turn, is at the center of an ongoing scandal in Germany involving political payouts to the CDU party of former Chancellor Helmut Kohl, bribes allegedly made by French politicians, kickbacks involving powerful Canadian political and economic interests, and the intelligence services of numerous countries. In turn, the CDU funding scandal is inextricably linked with the underground Reich. The intense interest on the part of major political and industrial interests in this renovated Second World War facility is of particular significance in this context. Most of the industrial infrastructure of the former East Germany was bought out and liquidated, with enormous resultant hardships for the citizens of that part of Germany shortly after reunification. In contrast, the former IG facility at Leuna was considered a valuable prize. The maneuvering around the Leuna facility and the CDU funding scandal was instrumental in convincing Mr. Emery that the formula was of more than mere literary significance. It convinced him that that fact-based novel would have to be discussed at some future point. The novel The Formula revolves around the formula for a catalyst, the mangan catalyst in the novel, developed by IG Farben as part of its Genesis project. The significance of the project lies in the fact that it greatly improved the efficiency of the hydrogenation process, streamlining Germany's synthetic fuel production capacity and potentially making the hydrogenation process economically competitive with naturally produced petroleum. In the novel, the post-1973 increase in the price of oil makes the formula a pivot point of clandestine intrigue. Consider the significance of the hypothetical existence of such a formula. It would potentially control petroleum-producing countries, including the former USSR and the Middle East oil kingdoms, by threatening their economic foundation, offer the key to manipulating the economies of non-oil-producing industrial economies by potentially freeing them from the need to import oil, control the profit position of the major oil companies, and legally freeing Germany from the need to import oil. IG's successor companies would have retained the right to produce hydrogenation-derived oil. Given the improvements in organic chemistry and other technologies in the years since World War II, it seems unlikely that something like the mangan catalyst or an analogous technological development would not have been developed. In the context of the emphatically hypothetical, interrogatory nature of this program, one should not lose sight of the fact that the world's natural petroleum reserves are limited and will be exhausted within a few decades. The motivation of the petroleum-producing countries and the oil companies themselves to extract the remaining oil from the ground at top dollar before bowing to the inevitable would therefore be considerable under the circumstances. This should be evaluated as one delves into the text and substance of this fact-based work of fiction. Delving into the actual text excerpts of the novel itself, Adam Stifel, played by Marlon Brando in the movie, is the head of a giant oil company called Tidal Oil. Kane is a detective, played by George C. Scott, who is used as a stalking horse by the oil companies in order to eliminate people who are trying to get the word out about the mangan catalyst. And in a confrontation, the following discussion takes place. Stifel walked up to the big glass window and Barney, Kane, sat down in a chair facing the circular desk. "Don't feel too disheartened, son," Stifel said, turning to Barney. "We will manufacture synthetic fuel and in great quantity. We already own most of the coal in the country. We know it's coming. We have the formula. We have the mangan catalyst and we have the technology. But we must be certain of profit. By 1990, parenthetically, the novel was written in the late 70s, the country will be on its knees to OPEC. The government will then turn to us, and in their desperation, they will ensure our profit position in the manufacture of synthetic fuel." "Nice," Barney said. "Business," Stifel replied. "Just business." He crossed from the window and walked toward Barney. "We are a team of giants nursing the lullaby of the masses." Stifel sat down on the sofa opposite Barney and peered across him in the dim light. "You mustn't think of us as evil, rapacious men clinging to the keys of our numbered Swiss bank accounts. On the contrary, we are a small family of simple businessmen seeking only the tranquil pursuit of profit, and we take great care to bestow sufficient largesse on the masses. Skipping down. Why, Barney asked, what's wrong with making America self-sufficient in synthetic fuel? The old man stared at Barney with a look of total wonder. Do you honestly expect a $300 billion industry to undermine its own stake in the lucrative scarcity of oil by mass-producing synthetic fuel? Stifel walked back to his desk and sat down. We've had that formula in our possession since the conclusion of the war. British intelligence turned it over to our chemists in early 46. We even imported a few German scientists to build pilot hydrogenation plants to be certain the process was economically unsound. We terminated those plants in 56, but, he paused, that was 22 years ago. Things change. The price of crude oil has risen dramatically since 73, making the production of synthetic fuel an economic possibility. The Genesis formula makes it an economic reality. Therefore, we could not risk the formula falling into the wrong hands. And note what else happens. Barney then says, skipping down, what happens when there's no more profit left to squeeze from the citizens, when the whole goddamned world is on its knees? Barney asked angrily. The old man looked up at the ceiling for a moment, then stared at Barney. In that case, the cartel performs its historic duty. We unleash the dogs of war. There are those times when war is both economically and ecologically necessary for the ultimate survival of the species. Imagine that. The petroleum companies precipitating war for capricious reasons? Can't imagine that. Now, by way of wrapping up the program, guess what has been developed? Now, whether this is something that is truly just been developed or whether it was delivered to these people in a plain brown paper bag, I don't know. But the following is from Technology Review, an article by Kevin Bullis, Guess What Has Been Developed. An article titled Clean Diesel from Coal. A novel catalytic method could let you fill up your tank with coal-derived diesel, cutting U.S. dependence on foreign oil. As the cost of oil soars and worries over the U.S. dependence on foreign petroleum escalate, coal is becoming an increasingly attractive alternative as a feedstock to make a range of fuels. Now, chemists have invented a new catalytic process that could increase the yield of a clean form of diesel made from coal. The method, described in the current issue of the journal Science, uses a pair of catalysts to improve the yield of diesel fuel from Fischer-Tropsch, or FT synthesis, a nearly century-old chemical technique for reacting carbon monoxide and hydrogen to make hydrocarbons. The mixture of gases is produced by heating coal. Although Germany used the process during World War II to convert coal to fuel for its military vehicles, FT synthesis has generally been too expensive to compete with oil. Part of the problem with the FT process is that it produces a mixture of hydrocarbons, many of which are not useful as fuel. But in the recent research, Alan Goldman, professor of chemistry and chemical biology at Rutgers University, and Maurice Brookhart, professor of chemistry at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, use catalysts to convert these undesirable hydrocarbons into diesel. Skipping down, diesel fuel produced in this way has several potential advantages. Ordinary diesel contains molecules called aromatics that, when combusted, produce particulates, Goldman says. But the diesel formed by the new catalyst does not include aromatics, so it burns much cleaner, overcoming one of the major objections to diesel fuel. This could lead to more vehicles using diesel engines, which are about 30% more efficient than gasoline engines. But the biggest advantage may be that the United States has huge amounts of coal. Quote, we have as much energy in coal as the rest of the world has in oil. That's enough to last us the next 100 years or so, Goldman says. Thus, a more efficient and less expensive method of converting coal to diesel could significantly cut U.S. dependence on foreign oil and do so for a long time. So, a catalyst has been developed that'll make the hydrogenation process viable. What wonders we are coming across. Who would have thought that? Well, certainly not me. I'm just a crazy conspiracy theorist, and what do I know? This concludes For the Record program number 552, update on the formula and the standard IG agreement of 1929, being recorded on May 7th of 2006. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.